Tonight is a holy night. Holy means sacred, set apart, meaning that this night and the event we celebrate is like no other. Tonight I want to focus on the specialness of this event, because if we understand it and really apprehend it, then it will make a difference in our life and a difference in the world we live in. What we celebrate is the incarnation, God becoming human. We read about it in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, but that gospel doesn't even mention the birth of Christ. Rather, it pulls back the curtain and tells us what was going on in the conception of Christ and the plan that unfolded to bring this night about even before the beginning of time. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you a story. I want to say it happened a long time ago, but it happened before time itself. There were three persons, one in essence. They were all there was. Today we know them as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They had a perfect relationship of community and love, and they delighted in each other's perfections, perfection like power and glory and wisdom and knowledge and love. But there are two attributes that they had which they could not express within the Trinity. And those attributes were grace and mercy. They could not show grace to each other because they deserved all things. And they could not show mercy because there was nothing to forgive. So they discussed among themselves how they would go public with their attributes because they longed to display them. They designed a universe to display their intelligent design and their power and their wisdom. And they spoke about making creatures in their own image who would have some of their attributes, including freedom of will and the capacity to love. Love depends on freedom. You can't force someone to love you. And if you could force someone to love you like a robot, well, then that wouldn't be love. But free will and the possibility of love also allowed for the possibility of rejecting the triune God and not loving him. And this not loving him would manifest itself in sin, and the existence of evil. And so the triune God also planned on mercy and grace. But they were also holy and just. Holy means they have a standard of righteousness and truth, and justice means that sin and unrighteousness and evil gets its due. But they knew they would love their creatures, and they did not want to visit the wrath that goes with justice upon them. And so they had a plan to redeem. Sin was essentially a disregard of God's holiness. God would be the offended party if someone sinned, and so they could pay for the offense themselves. They agreed that the second person of the Trinity would become human so that he could represent humanity and pay the debt that humanity owed. And so they made a covenant among themselves that they would do this. And we know it as the covenant of redemption. They would create creatures in their image and plan on showing them mercy and grace, which would magnify the two attributes that they could not express within themselves. So the triune God willed their plan. The Word of God, who was himself God, spoke, and the universe exploded into being with energy and light and matter and time itself. After the creation of the universe and this planet, the triune God said, "Let us make creatures in our own image with some of our attributes." And they did, including the freedom to choose, even if it meant they could reject the Creator and his instructions for a long and happy life. Well, the original people did not follow God, and it affected them bodily and emotionally and spiritually. It affected their DNA, and so they passed on this fallenness to their descendants. It introduced into the world sickness and mental anguish and evil. But the triune God had a plan to redeem. The triune God also reasoned that should the Son become human, he would need a culture to be born into who would recognize God and his holiness. And so God chose a man before the creation of the world who would be the father of this nation and of this culture. His name was Abraham. They would have to be a people separate from others in their values and practices, and for that, they would be hated and persecuted. But he would preserve them, and the Son of God would be born into their culture. At just the right time, God sent a spiritual being called an angel to a virgin named Mary. And he told her that she would conceive and bear a son, and Mary wondered, how could this be since she was a virgin? But the angel told her that the conception would be a miracle of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came upon her, and one of Mary's eggs was fertilized miraculously. And since the baby was not conceived in the normal fashion, he did not have a sin nature, but was human in every other way. The second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, became flesh with all the human limitations, born in a womb, born through a birth canal, born into a stable, with all the limitations of hunger and tiredness and grief and rejection and growing up under an oppressive government. He could also be tempted and he could also die. The Latin word for becoming flesh is incarno. We say incarnate. As incarnate, he emptied himself of his power and lived as a human. While he was on the earth, he showed us the heart of God. that he is merciful and compassionate, full of grace and truth. He showed us how a person in tune with God was supposed to live. Yes, with love, but also with a commitment to the holiness of God. Love and holiness in a person look like Jesus. And he was born to show us the Father. And if you ever wondered what God might be like, well, he is like Jesus. And though he came to show us the Father, he also came to die. Remember the covenant of redemption that the Trinity made before the creation, where the second person of the Trinity would become human and pay the debt that humans owed? He died the death that we deserved for our sin. But on the third day, he was raised again from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And after several weeks of instructing his disciples, he ascended into heaven as a human, still incarnate. Now, maybe you don't believe that story. Maybe you say, well, it's only a story. But history is story backed up by testimony. And there's irrefutable testimony from many credible witnesses that the incarnate one, Jesus, rose from the dead. And we have the testimony of apostles like John and Peter who pulled back the veil and told us what was really happening behind the scenes before Jesus was ever born. So how can you see how tonight is more than just a baby and shepherds and angels and wise men? Can you see it as an essential part of God's plan for the creation of the universe and even your existence? Grace underlies all of creation. And you are people to whom he wants to show grace. And he invites you into the fellowship of the Trinity itself, which is also a grace. Gregory of Nazianzus, an early church father, wrote these words, "Oh, the new mingling contrary to all expectation. The one who is becomes. The uncreated is created. The uncontainable is contained in a reasoning brain and the thickness of flesh. The one who enriches becomes the beggar. The one who is full becomes empty, for he emptied himself of his glory for a little time so that I might share in his fullness. I received the image but did not protect it. He received a share in my flesh so that he might save the image and make deathless the flesh." After he ascended into heaven, he sent the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. Before the Holy Spirit came to us, we did not notice God, but he gave us light to see him. And he who spoke light into being spoke light into our hearts that we might have faith. And the one who was the spark of life gives life to our souls. A life that starts when he comes to us and it keeps on going even after our flesh dies. And you receive this light and this light when you receive him and believe him. Now, you might have heard this all before, but be careful that you do not let it pass you by like a fastball whizzing past your head. Rather, receive it and ponder it. And consider it for a while. The Creator comes to you. He comes to you with mercy and grace. He whispers to you his invitation, and to all who receive him, he makes them children of God. Not everyone is his child. He is everyone's creator, but only the father of those who receive his son. And if you bask in his love and let his mercy touch your heart, you will live life with a sense of being loved. And that makes a difference in how we live and how we think of ourselves, how we think of others, and how we hope. It is light shining in the darkness, and it is light and life being given to a starving soul. And because the Spirit of the Triune God is with us, we can actually grow in awareness of his presence. It starts with believing it's possible to experience his presence. And from that place, we listen and are sensitive to his movements. And we let Christ live his life through us at the impulse of his love. And that makes us, through the power of the Spirit, the presence of Christ in the world. By sending his Spirit, Christ multiplied himself many times over so that we are his hands, his feet, his compassionate heart, his words. We have to make it our aim that when people see us, they see Jesus, that they see his mercy, his compassion, his truth. So we have to ask ourselves, do people see Jesus in us? And if that answer is no, or well, not very often, well, we can start anew because his grace is always an invitation to start anew. The Word of God who became incarnate now wants us to incarnate him. And with him in us, there is life. There is light. He not only gives life to our souls that keep on going after our flesh dies, but for all the people who have felt dead inside, he gives life. Say to him, I want your life, because all my ways of trying to fill it myself have led to starvation. And he also gives us light, light that others can see if we are willing to not have that light eclipsed by our self-centeredness or the disregard of others. When others see the light, it warms the darkness that exists in so many places in the world, and the presence of Christ is multiplied everywhere we touch. Heard a story of a situation that happened on a Christmas Eve in 1932, Chicago. A man was walking home from work that evening. It was cold and a light snow was falling, and he walked by a shoe store, and in front of the shoe store was a boy, about 8 years old, staring through the window. He was about to walk by the boy, but he stopped and said, "What are you up to, son?" And he said, "I'm just looking at some shoes." And the man noticed his feet protruding through his old beat-up shoes. And he said to the boy, "Come into the store with me." He had the salesperson measure his feet and brought him the shoes of his choice. And the man said, "Give me 2 pairs of socks to go with those shoes." And then he asked, "Do you have any warm water and soap?" And they did, and they brought him a tub of warm water and soap, and he washed the boy's dirty and frozen feet and dried them with a towel. Then he said, "Put on the socks. Put on the shoes." And the boy said, "Ah, they're perfect." And the man said, "We'll take those shoes and 2 pairs of socks, and he'll wear them out of here." And as the man was paying for the shoes, the boy paused at the door before he walked out and turned around and said, "Sir, are you Jesus?" No, he wasn't Jesus. Or was he? Who in that moment was the presence of Christ in that boy's life? The incarnate Son ascended into heaven, now moves in the world through those who incarnate him through his Spirit. Be his incarnate presence in the world, and you will find satisfaction for yourselves and a better world everywhere you are. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that underneath us, holding us and giving us hope, is grace and mercy. I pray for a sense of mercy for everyone who calls out to you, whether that mercy be forgiveness of sins, or a kindness to deliver them, or a hope to see them through some trouble. We know this is your heart, O Lord, and so we appeal to it this evening. We pray, Lord, that you who are rich beyond splendor would come to us and meet us in our need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.